Welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We got a loaded show for you today. Trey Wallace from Outkick.com going to join us at 7:30. We'll get the latest on all things SEC hoops. Gentry Estes at 8 o'clock. Sean Rourke from NHL.com at 9 o'clock, and Chris Mason at 9:30 as well. Joe Rexroth, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well. Back in town. Hoping we don't get flooded today.
That would be great. It's a little wet out there. Michelle, what's going on?
Today is the best day ever, actually. I was just telling Joe, my sister was visiting Virginia Tech. They have like the full week off. And then I get a call from them last night. They're visiting me, so they're coming in this morning. And I'm so excited, and I had no idea.
It's awesome.
So family's coming in, and it was a very pleasant surprise. Mom was like, we were going to surprise you and just show up at your apartment last night at like 11 o'clock. And then she called, and she was like, we're going to stop in Knoxville, and then we'll be there in the morning. I was like, that would have really scared me if I got a call at 11 o'clock at night, because you know I would be sleeping because we have to be up so early. She's like, yeah, I figured that would be better. I'm like, yeah, that'd be better on both ends. And nice. I can clean my apartment, Mom.
Yeah, there you go.
There's that.
So possible future Hokie. I like it. That's my – you talk about – you're like, what team can I mess with you? I'm a Hokies fan. I'm a Virginia Tech fan.
Okay.
So, but now you may be ripping on your sister's team, so
that's okay. That's okay. Joe, she could be a Hokie. She loves Tears for Fears. She loves Hall & Oates. You guys are like the same person.
Smart kid.
I don't think there's any question about it. The fist fights I've seen between Joe Rexroth and John Glennon between Virginia and Virginia Tech, legendary.
Yeah. You know, the UVA, the kids, you know, they wear ties to the football games. Yeah. It's no contest.
They do a lot better than you in basketball, though.
Well, I guess if paint drying is good basketball, yes. Ooh, let's see if we can get to 47 tonight.
I knew you were going to go there.
I like, you know, what's his name? He's a good guy. Boring. The Bennett's, fantastic people. Boring basketball.
That's right. Joe, what'd you think of Juwan Howard being suspended 5 games for the rest of the regular season, fined $40,000 for the incident on Sunday's game against Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think it's about right. You know, I figured like a lengthy suspension was appropriate. I never thought a firing was the thing. I understand that he's had some other stuff. You know, last year with Mark Turgeon at the Big Ten tournament, he's had some kind of outburst. Something else happened with Rutgers this year. I didn't even realize that, but. But that's, you know, circulated the internet now. But I think, you know, you could make a case like the rest of the season, including the postseason. I don't know what the postseason will be. They're right in the bubble. But I think 5 games is a pretty good suspension. I think it's about right. And, you know, as far as – it's interesting that there's a wide range of opinion on, like, the Greg Gard part of this. I just – of the opinion – I mean, I get the idea, like – don't put your hands on someone. I mean, Juwan Howard was obviously angry, and he's doing the blow by. And we've seen plenty of blow by handshakes, right? Or non handshakes, people. But I didn't feel like Greg Gard's thing. I didn't think what he did was like aggressive. It was just like, hey, hold on, try to explain it. So I don't know. That's just what it looked like to me. Some people have been like, really, you could look at that and say none of this happens if he doesn't put his arm out and stop him. You know, I don't know. But Gard didn't get much. He got, what, a small fine?
$10,000 fine.
Yeah, no suspension. I thought the player suspensions actually were less than I would have expected, given some of the punches that were flying around. But all in all, I think it's fine. Of course, this also brings up the handshake line question, too. You know, the question of, should that go away? I mean, it doesn't exist, you know, like in pro sports. And it's funny, it did not exist in college basketball. I mean, it kind of became a thing, not, I shouldn't say not that long ago, but I bet you it was 10 years ago, something like that. Like my entire life, it has not been a thing where college basketball game ends and everybody gets into a line and shakes hands. Absolutely not. Oh, no. I mean, if you go back and watch a game in the 80s and I think even 90s, you would not see the handshake line. So, I don't know. Is it? Do we need
Tom Izzo was asked about that.
I did.
About getting, did you see it? And like he just basically said, yeah, our team's going to be out there handshaking the air. And just walking through. Here's how you doing? Way to go. Good game. Good game. Good game.
Right. Yeah, he said. His comment was like, "Yeah, that's just like our country. You know, something's bad, so let's just walk away from it instead of fix it. You know, which is fine, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's all that. You know, is it necessary? I think it's great for kids. Obviously, kids, youth sports, high school sports, there should be a handshake line. You get into adults. I don't know. I could take it or leave it. I mean, you could make the case if you didn't have it, then you wouldn't have these situations. Coach would just storm off and be like, "Yeah, forget that guy." I don't know.
I'm all for the handshake line because if we didn't have the handshake line, there would be no Zakai Ziegler standing up on a chair doing the Gator chop this year. And we have to have that. So.
Yeah. What? But see now, and that was awesome, and that's fantastic trolling by him. But there is another example of like. You could have some problems when you have the handshake line. Luckily, he handled it well rather than, you know, punches flying when they made fun of his height. I don't know. It's probably not going to go away. But I'm really interested now that I've been thinking about this for all of 5 minutes. Like, when did it come back? It absolutely became – I want to say probably – it's probably more like 15 to 20 years ago in the 2000s. Once society got into everybody gets a trophy type thing, that's probably what it basically goes hand in hand with that.
That's right. Joe, the Predators taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds have lost four in a row, and they're staring down the barrel of the best team in the Eastern Conference, maybe the best team in the entire National Hockey League tonight against Florida. What would a win against the Panthers mean for this group in your mind? Obviously, I mean, there's the obvious of it of, okay, it stops a losing streak. You're heading into a big game against Dallas. Psychologically, if you can go in there and beat Florida, what do you think this does for this Predators team if they're able to pull this off tonight?
Well, it would be a heck of a start to what's going to be an unforgettable week regardless. I mean, that's the thing. This is going to be a great week for the Nashville Predators. Even if they get crushed in three games, but you know, if you're on the team, that's you don't want that. You want to contribute positively to the whole thing. You know, I mean, it's not going to ruin Nashville getting a Stadium Series game if they lose Saturday. It's not going to ruin Pecorino night if they lose Thursday. But tonight, if you get this win, those games get, you know, there's just a little bit less desperation. You know. And there's a little bit better feeling on the team side of things going into it. And let's face it, I mean, it's still, it's. I mean, this is going to be a great week with Pecorino, and it's a hockey community celebration too, but it's still, you know, it's still, the centerpiece is still the current Nashville Predators team and how they're playing and what they're doing. And, you know, so it's, so this would be a bit unexpected, basically, to me, the way they're playing and the way Florida's playing. This would be a bit unexpected. I'd be a bit surprised if they won this game tonight. And I think for them, it could be a big, like, again, just kind of flipping the switch on the momentum when you get a, if you were to get a win like this.
Well, look, everybody in the world thinks they're going to lose this game tonight, myself included. I mean, it's Florida, and I've watched Florida play the last couple of weeks pretty closely. They're good. Like, they're really, really good. And, you know, I still worry about their goaltender when it comes down to crunch time and how that's going to go. But sometimes we see this, especially in the NHL. I mean, Toronto waltzed into Montreal last night as a heavy favorite. I think they were a 2.5-goal favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and they just got absolutely destroyed by the Montreal Canadiens last night, who might be the worst team in the NHL. So we've seen this happen. I'm not saying that this is going to be like some, you know, galvanizing rah-rah moment for the Predators against the Florida Panthers, but pretty much everybody's going to pick the Panthers to win this game tonight, and we have seen this team before. When that happens, sometimes they play their best hockey. Now, honestly, I think they could play their best hockey tonight, and I don't know if that's good enough against Florida. Like, Florida's that good. So we'll see what happens on that front. But if they're able to go in there tonight and get a win, number one, I think it, you know, relaxes you a little bit heading into Thursday's game. You know, if the losing streak reaches five games in a row, you've got the emotion of the night. You've got all these things going on with Pecorino. You know what a big game it is in your division anyway. And then there's also the weight of, guys, we got to get a win. Like, you start pressing. a little too much. So I think more than anything, if you can win this game against Florida, maybe you get back into the flow of, all right, we're going to be okay as you move forward here. That to me is, I think, could be really valuable if they can get this win outside of just the obvious of the 2 points.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, obviously, they play their best. I mean, I guess if it's like if they play their best and Florida plays their best, well, yeah, I mean, Florida's going to win, right? I mean, that's, I mean, they're a better team. It's interesting, too, when you think about, because I would agree that most people would pick this. I'm not, so now I'm actually interested to look at the line. There's no line, though. It's Florida minus 200. Is this one of the, I mean, hockey lines to me are just like, it's just, again, why I avoid the heck out of hockey. But it's like, so it's either, you know.
It's basically, it's either going to be a goal and a half, or sometimes when it gets extreme, there's 2.5.
I was going to say, usually the range is like, it's like a half goal to a goal and a half, right? I mean, that's the typical range.
They leave the hook in there for the empty netter, right?
Sure.
Like, it's, that's why you feel good about sometimes the minus 1.5, and then the empty netter goes in. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Awesome. It's great stuff. Craig on the text line says, if two hockey teams can beat the hell out of each other for 2 weeks in the Stanley Cup and shake hands after a game 7, I think college basketball teams can handle a handshake after 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's coming from Craig.
Again, sure. I mean, and you're right. And that's, and I love that tradition for the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's also one of those, I mean, that's kind of a, that's an old school thing that has carried on. And I think it's great. I do. I think it's great because you're right. Typically, and often it's 7 games or it's 6-7 games of absolute just, and the teams get so sick of each other, and there's always some kind of conflict. Someone trying to take someone's head off, and they shake hands. But do hockey teams shake hands after every regular season game? No, they surely do not. Do they shake hands after every other playoff game? No, they surely do not. They it's a special occasion to shake hands. So why do we have to have every game a handshake line? Again, I
agree.
I mean, look, I think one argument for it would be it is an example, you know, for kids. And that's my biggest problem with like the whole Juwan Howard thing is like you're supposed to be setting an example. You are. You're supposed to be a leader of people. And you're in a very, you know, you're one of the highest paid public employees in the state of Michigan, and you act like that. Like, that's one of my biggest problems with the whole thing. And that's the argument for the handshake line is we're trying to show kids how to act, right? But
yeah,
I guess I will say this, though. You do those handshakes like at midfield or the handshakes between the coaches as they go by. It kind of gives you an idea of like who likes who or hates who in the league, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, from our perspective, I guess I'd keep
them. Well, one of my favorite parts about a Titans game is the Vrabel handshake. No, it's the same every time. It's the blow by.
The drive
keeps going.
The drive by handshake. Other than what was the exception? It was there was an exception. Actually, he kind of gave David Culley a hug.
Okay.
Didn't he?
Every now and then
he's hear you're about to get fired after 1 year. Sorry, buddy. I don't know if
I'm gonna take Tim Kelly with me, so we'll see you later.
Yeah, and I'm taking Tim Kelly. Thanks, bye.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. I've got some questions to throw out there to Joe Rex Road. We'll do that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Direct Road, the Preds in action tonight against the Panthers. I've got a few questions I want to throw your way and toss them back and forth with each other. Are you ready? I think you're ready.
I am ready. I'm actually texting our text thread right now. It was Michelle takes shots at Adam Schefter. So,
All right, we'll start with this one. Who is more important to the Predators coming down the stretch? Is it Ryan Johansson or Mikael Granlund? Ryan Johansson or Mikael Granlund? Who's more important coming down the stretch?
I mean, I think it's very close, but I guess the way I would answer that is I still feel like Granlund's going to do exactly what the Preds need Granlund to do. Now, granted, they counted him for production. He's a very important playmaker. He does everything. But I feel like he's going to do that. I think I would say Johansson because it gets back to the just a little bit more maybe goal scoring here and there, mix it in a little bit more. And also important that he, you know, that the Preds maximize him, you know, as we've talked about. Find the right combination around him to bring out his best as well. So I'm going to go with Johansson.
I will give the slight edge to Johansson, largely because I agree with Granlund. I think you know what you're going to get out of him. I also think the ceiling higher for Ryan Johansson, and I think if he can reach that coming down the stretch, that's going to help this team immensely. Like, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, obviously, they've been struggling scoring as of late. At some point, if you're John Hines, do you consider breaking up one of the two lines that you feel good about? And I thought to myself, all right, well, which line would I rather break up? Would it be Granlund, Duchesne, Forsberg's line or the Jeannot, Sissons, Trennan line to maybe try something there? And I just came to the conclusion, like, probably unless there's injury, I'm probably not touching that Granlund, Forsberg, Duchesne line for the rest of the year if I'm John Hines. Sometimes it's good to just leave things alone.
I wouldn't touch the other one, though.
I wouldn't either, but I have, and John Glennon's brought this up several times. The idea of putting Jeannot up there with Johansson and just seeing how that goes is pretty intriguing to me.
Where is Olivier?
He's hurt.
Yeah, that's when he's ready, then you can do that.
No, maybe
he was Jeannot. He was Jeannot before Jeannot.
Well, think about that. Like, if Olivier doesn't get hurt last year, Jeannot probably doesn't get a shot. At least doesn't get a shot back then.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how just simple things like that in the NHL and in sports can launch somebody for their career. All right. How does Matt Duchesne's success this season make you view the remainder of the contract? How does Matt Duchesne's success this season make you view the remainder of his contract? Because the reason I ask that is this. There are some people that think, all right, well, he's figured it out. In the next 2-3 years, he's going to be a really good player. And you've got a chance to win. And there are some that say, okay, he's had a really good year. I don't know that I trust him to do that again. Trade him and strike while the iron's hot. So how does his success this year make you view his contract?
Well, the view of it to me has to be seen through the lens of the team. So, look, right now he's got 44 points in 46 games, okay? So, like if he has a 70 plus point season, well, how many forwards in your history have had those?
Not very many.
Right. So I mean, if the team is competitive and you aren't looking at a major rebuild, then I think you want to keep that guy. I understand what happened the last 2 years, but a really good year this year would still be more in line with his history, right? Way more in line with his history as a player in this league, and he's 31 years old. But the good thing is this season does make that deal, and now you take another year off it, I think, to me, movable if it does go the other way. So if things start going south and it's like, and this team all of a sudden is like maybe not making the playoffs – or whatever, you know, what's going to happen with Forsberg, that's part of it too. Now you could potentially have an answer here. You could possibly move him and make that part of a rebuild. But if I'm David Poile and this team is going to stay competitive, it's going to be a playoff team, and you feel like you can add some pieces and really do something, then you're just happy to have Matt Duchesne.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you feel like you're moving in the right direction and he's a part of that, if you trade him, this is the kind of the same argument I go back to with Forsberg. If you trade him, you're then looking for somebody who can come in and be Philip Forsberg, or somebody that can then come in and be Matt Duchesne. So I mean, I agree. The team success is, I think, the ultimate deciding factor. I do think his contract is more movable. I still think a lot of teams around the league, based on the salary cap situation, would look at his age and look at how much he's getting paid and saying, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, it's certainly more movable now because it was impossible last year to move it. I still think it would be unlikely.
I mean, teams aren't clamoring for it, probably.
Right.
But the right situation, a team looking at a 31-year-old who just had a 70-point season who, again, has his history, I think it's possible.
It's certainly possible now. It was not this time last year.
It was zero. It was new. It was radioactive a year ago.
Yes. All right. Who has the better career, Eli Tolvanen or Tanner Jeannot? Eli Tolvanen or Tanner Jeannot? Think about asking that question a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Especially when Tolvanen had his best moments as a pro. Yeah, I'm going to go Tanner Jeannot. I think Tolvanen still. I think there's a couple of things with Tolvanen, and Darren McFarland brought this up yesterday. I mean, you got to give him credit for doing the things necessary to stick in this league and staying in a lineup when he's not producing. I mean, that does say something. He's only 22 years old, too, and the shot is lethal. So I still think that there's a lot of good hockey ahead for him, and I think he can have a lot of productive seasons. But I got to say, and you know, you remember with Jeannot, I mean, he is a couple years older than him. It's been a circuitous route to here for him.
Nice word.
Yes, thank you. Way too early to use that word. But I think he's going to be – I think he's got a chance to be – you know, I don't want to go star, but like a really important forward for this club, and just one of those rare guys who has that level of physicality plus skill to go with it that teams are always looking for and teams hate to play against. I mean, I think it probably will be close because, again, I think Tolvanen is going to have productive seasons, but I could see Jeannot. I think Jeannot probably has a little bit more room still to grow from here.
Well, I think if you're a Predators fan, you are hoping that it's Eli Tolvanen. I mean, you drafted him to be, you know, 30-goal scorer every year. And look, I don't want to sit here and put a ceiling on Tanner Jeannot because, you know, he has far blown away anything that I ever thought he would do. So I'm not saying that Jeannot can't become, you know, who's to say he can't score 30 in a year one day? I think he could at that point. But I think if you're a Predators fan, you're hoping it's Tolvanen because I think his upside offensively is just – it's just better than Jeannot is. Now, having said that, if I had to pick one who I think has a better career right now, I'm going Jeannot because I think – I'm not going to say he's a totally unique player in the NHL, but I can probably count on one hand the list of guys that he reminds me of that plays the game the way that he does. The combination of the physicality, the speed, and the skill to go along with it, you just don't find that a lot. So if I had to pick one, I'd go Jeannot. If I'm a Predators fan, I'm hoping it's Tolvanen because that means, like, I think Jeannot is going to be pretty good and Tolvanen would turn into an exceptional player, honestly. And I was talking about this the other day with a friend of mine. I just don't know that Tolvanen is ever going to be quite what they thought he was. That doesn't mean he can't be a really good player. I just don't know that he's ever going to be quite what they thought he was. Again, it's still very early.
Yeah, well, I thought this was going to be, you know, a breakout year for him. I thought he was going to have a huge year. He was one of the reasons I picked him to go to the playoffs because I thought he would, you know, replace a lot of the production that they're looking for, and he hasn't. And, you know, and that was, for me, based on last year, it just seemed like getting hurt just totally stymied him. But before that, he looked unstoppable for a while. But that now that looks more like a, you know, a hot streak for a guy who is just, I mean, it's been a long time now this season that he just hasn't been able to figure it out or quite, you know, utilize his skills to help this team enough.
All right, final question. In honor of Pekka Rinne getting his jersey retired this week, will Roman Josi become the second Predator to get his jersey retired one day? Will 59 be up in the rafters one day?
I believe yes. I believe he will be in the rafters. And yeah, I'm trying to think of, you know, there are other numbers that could hang up there. Nine could certainly hang up there.
I keep going back to six. I don't know if they're going to do it or not, but I think there's a strong case that they should.
Yeah, six is certainly, I mean, right there. I mean, but the thing is, you know, when you come, I think that for Shea Weber versus Roman Josi, Shea Weber was, I think people looked at him as like the ultimate leader and captain, right? But like when Roman Yossi's done, I mean, he's going to have all the
Yossi's the best defenseman in the history of the franchise. Yeah. Like I don't have it. Like, Yossi's going to Yossi's get his retired one day. Like it's going to happen. I just, do they do Weber before Yossi? I don't know.
Do they do Weber at all?
I don't know. I remember when Philip Myers got traded here and he was going to take number six and that changed in a hurry. It didn't go well.
So 59, yeah. Overall, it makes sense. But it's just interesting, too, because, well, of course, he's still technically an active player in the league. So that's a really good question, though. But, yeah, 50. See, the thing is, too, well, Shea Weber could be done here real soon. And then, I mean, they obviously went super fast with Pecorine. So, in theory, Shea Weber could be hanging up there while Yossi's still playing.
Could be. I will say. I think Shea is going to be in town tomorrow.
Yeah, this week, right?
That'll be cool. Yeah. So that'll be some cool stuff.
Let's ask him if he's going to.
Yeah, Shea, you're going to get your jersey retired. we'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, some news that could eventually affect the NFL draft. We'll get into that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity later in the show coming up at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. No, the NFL may have avoided a disaster with some of the decisions that they made yesterday. Now, it came out last week that the NFL had sent out a memo to draft prospects and their agents, basically just kind of outlining the rules of the combine. And in that, they included a bubble that would keep prospects from interacting with basically doctors, nutritionists, their own personal trainers while they were in Indy at the combine. And out of that, according to reports, agents representing more than 150 of the 324 prospects that had been invited to the combine threatened to boycott the combine. Now, since then, late last night, I believe the NFL sent out another memo to all their players, and they've revised those a little bit. So they talked about wearing masks. You got to wear them around the medical experts. But other than that, they are recommended but not required. So the NFL has changed the protocols. What did you think of that story? And if they didn't change the protocols and the players were to have, I guess, boycotted, for lack of a better term, the NFL combine, how big of a mess would that have been for the NFL draft in your mind?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that it would actually happen, you know, because obviously that's one of those things where it's like, I mean, there's a lot of guys. It's really, really valuable. Look, the top prospects are the top prospects, but for so many guys who get invited to the combine, getting invited is a huge deal. And getting invited to the combine really elevates your opportunity, you know, to be in the league, your potential draft standing, all that stuff. I mean, this was going to be the first, you know, kind of back to normal, just about all the way back to normal, you know, combine. Actually, you know, 2 years ago, we actually did have a totally normal combine because it was right before COVID hit. So there was just 1 year that was all different. But I was surprised, but I understood it too. I mean, the NFL owners basically, like at the end of the season and playoffs, were kind of like, okay, just forget all the rules, you know? I mean, like, so I mean, it makes sense at this point in this era of, you know, the vaccine's available, the boosters are available, and, you know, everybody knows the risk. And also, the most recent variant, of course, was spreading despite the vaccine. Also, it was extremely mild, especially if you are vaccinated. I mean, you know, this is kind of the latest step of like, okay, I mean, it's sort of the NFL moving on. I think sports moving on to a different way of dealing with this.
Yeah, I was just for about, I don't know, a day yesterday, because they sent these out next weekend, and you started hearing rumblings over the weekend in terms of the agents boycotting the NFL Combine. Like, how important do you think the Combine is? Obviously, like, they've watched film on these guys. They've interviewed some players at the Senior Bowl. But the Combine, you know, is where you can get players one-on-one. You can see the measurables that they have. It's kind of more, I guess, for lack of a better term, an objective set of measurables than you go to with a pro day where everything's set up for those players to succeed. How important is the combine in your mind in the draft process for these NFL GMs?
Well, look, I mean, it absolutely affects decision-making, so it's important. I mean, I think most people in the league would say the film is still more important than the combine. Now, sometimes, of course, you have players who aren't playing against a bunch of future players who are going to be in the NFL, so maybe the film, you know, has a little less value than like the film of someone in the SEC.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important. And I think the interviews are really important. You know, it's
hand size.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very, very important. And of course, the Wonderlics just, you know, it tells us everything about what someone's going to do in the NFL. But those interviews are important, and they kind of, you know, those guys are just, I mean, they're you roll through all these interviews, so it's got to be exhausting. You hear a lot of the same questions. Then you hear weird questions. How do you react to that? But, I feel like the ability to sit down with someone, okay, let's talk a little film here. Show me what you did here. And there's a lot of different things that can go on in those interviews. Just, it's so much more valuable, as I think any GM would tell you or personnel person would tell you, than the Zoom stuff that they've been –
yes,
to do. I mean, it's just, there's just limitations on that you don't have when you kind of can just sit down with someone. So, and I think that's, you know, that's probably the most important thing. Obviously, here and there, okay, DK Metcalf just blows up all the stopwatches, and I mean that did help him. He was a great player anyway, but sometimes you'll have like an astounding performance like that, and then you also see so many combine heroes who don't end up being good football players in the National Football League.
That's the thing. Like, I think different GMs and different front offices view the combine differently. Like some people, that you just allow yourself to fall in love with the times and with the vertical jumps and all these different things that they can do in their shorts at the combine. Well, and it goes back to, like, to me, the person I thought of when I think of the combine, like, is Juwan Jennings, right? Like, measurable wise, there's not much he's going to bring to the table. He's not the fastest guy. You know, he's not the strongest guy. But and you and I have talked about this a ton. Like, watch the guy play. Is it really that big of a surprise to you that he was a menace for the 49ers last year? It's not that big of a surprise to me.
Nope, not at all. And he's a great example. I mean, look, Jerry Rice is a 4'6 guy.
Yeah.
He might be the best football player ever. I mean, you know, it's so.
No disrespect to the Pharaoh.
Limitations. Well, yeah. He's in the mix. He's the GOAT. Sorry, he's the GOAT, the Pharaoh GOAT. I can't believe we've gone this far, by the way, and I know we don't have time this time. I can't believe we've gone this far into the show without you freaking out about Aaron Rodgers' post.
Oh, we're getting to it coming up next.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Yes. It's time for you to freak out.
This is a big day. There are some people that are convinced after his Instagram post last night that he's retiring. And then there's me who thinks he's announcing he's coming back today. So we'll see what happens on that front. This could be a variety of different emotions for me today.
What time is that?
I don't really know. I think it's sometime around 1, I think.
Robbie, you don't know the exact time? I'm a little disappointed.
I don't know that Pat McAfee knows the exact time. I think it sometimes just happens. I don't know.
Rodgers just sort of appears whenever he wants to on the show. He's like, hey, I'm going to take this hour over. Is that how it is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That sounds about right for him.
I got to get your thoughts on something real quick. I went to the movies yesterday. I saw Spider-Man, No Way Home for the first time. Like, you know, it's been in theaters for 2.5 months at this point.
Yeah.
I went by myself, and my wife thinks that I'm insane for going to a movie by myself. Your thoughts on going to movies by yourself?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it too.
I'm fine with it. I'm trying to think if I've done that. But I'm fine with it. There's nothing wrong.
My response was like, what are you going to do? Like, am I supposed to sit there and talk to you during the movie? Like, I'm trying to watch the movie. So what difference does it make if I'm by myself or I'm with you?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I'm in this. It's been so long now that almost every time I've gone to a movie in the last, 18 years, it's taking a kid to a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or their friends, So, like.
Well, and then COVID took it out of the game for a while.
Right. That's right. I'm fine with it, man. I'm totally fine with it. And you're right. Sure, it's really not a social experience. I mean, unless you're like, unless you got a hot date.
Well, that was my thing though, I think movie for first date.
Awful.
Not a good move. Like, you don't talk to them.
Well, but you got to have dinner around it, right? Before or after.
That is true.
Yes.
Then it's okay. But yeah.
Hey, I'm going to pick you up, go watch a movie, and we'll drop you off right after.
Yeah, good to see you.
See ya. All righty.
Hey, real quick, before we go, did you notice that Michelle got the let out?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Is that what we're doing? Let out today?
This is what we're doing this morning.
Really? Yep. Right. Okay.
So the first, we did, I don't know the names of the songs, but we got another one coming up.
You just had Heartbreaker right there.
Yep, that's what I had.
Okay. That's good stuff. I got suggestions, too.
All right, we will get into the Aaron Rodgers stuff coming up next. Will he make a decision today? And if so, what does that decision look like? We'll get to that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, today could be a big day in the world of sports. Could be a big day for the future of the Green Bay Packers, or maybe for the future of another team, the quarterback as well. Look, first off, let's just make this clear. We don't know for sure that Aaron Rodgers is even doing anything today. Pat McAfee has teased a big guest coming on his show on Tuesday. I think the entire world thinks it's Aaron Rodgers. I think most people will be disappointed if it's not Aaron Rodgers, but it's not confirmed that it is Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers could make his decision today, could be announcing that on the Pat McAfee show. Now, Rodgers took to Instagram late last night, and had a very lengthy post in which he had 10 photos of some of his teammates. Shailene Woodley was in there. He had an entire section dedicated to Shailene Woodley as well, which is, are they still together? Like, I can't figure this out now. There's all these reports that they broke up, and now the way he made it seem like maybe they're still together. But most people were looking at this last night thinking that this is basically his preemptive way of saying goodbye. He's retiring. So, Rexro, what are your thoughts on the decision that Aaron Rodgers has in front of him? Did the Instagram social media post last night convince you that he's going to retire?
Well, it hasn't convinced me of anything, because I could see you could look at it that and you could still do anything off that and explain it. And it could also be just wants to leave Green Bay, but isn't necessarily retiring. But I mean, I guess it does seem like a goodbye. And the Shailene Woodley stuff is really interesting. Is he trying to get her back? Like, what?
I don't know.
What's happening there?
Did he specifically say, though, that they broke off the engagement, or were those rumors?
He hadn't said anything. But TMZ reported it. It's been all over the place. But he hasn't said anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's been reported, not just like rumored, right? I mean, like, yeah. And TMZ, I mean,
they break stuff all the time.
Maybe TMZ usually isn't wrong, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. They've had their moments, but I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to get her back. But as far as the Packers, you think that this means that he's coming back to the Packers?
I don't know that it means that he's coming back. I think he is coming back, just with the signs. Look, there are a couple reasons why I think this. Number one, and I'm not joking with this, Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady have retired this year. Aaron Rodgers is not sharing the stage with Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady in Canton. Like, I think that, I know that sounds stupid to a lot of people. I'm just telling you, like, he is not sharing the stage with Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady in Canton.
I mean, Big
Ben.
Is
that crazy of me? Like, I just don't, I don't think that that's, I don't think he would do that.
Big Ben's already going to be Little Ben on that day.
And, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could be like the greatest Hall of Fame of all time. Of, hey, here's Aaron Rodgers, here's Tom Brady, here's Ben Roethlisberger all together.
Could be. They could do a little barbershop trio, but not quartet.
Quartet.
who's the fourth in the quartet? Who else is going to go in that year?
I don't know. I don't know. Look, I could be totally wrong. It's just difficult for me to imagine him not playing when he's back-to-back MVP. There is Brady and Roethlisberger who have just retired. And I just look at the things that have happened. Like, he's been pretty public about his comments with Brian Gutekunst, which, by the way, he's speaking tomorrow to the media. So part of me wonders if he knows something already.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Green Bay writers are insisting that this is his normal time to speak. It's right before the combine. I think the timing is pretty interesting that it's tomorrow. But that's just me. I don't know. I have no clue what's going to happen. My gut has been that he's coming back. I will say, when I saw the Instagram post last night, I was like, huh, you can take this a bunch of different ways. A lot of people are going the retirement route with it, which I would just be surprised by. I'm not going to totally rule it out, but I don't know. Like, when you win back-to-back MVPs and you're searching for a second Super Bowl, retirement just seems like strange timing to me.
Well, the bottom line is all the things he – look, it was heartfelt messages, and it was very much like, I'm going to remember the times and all that stuff, but there's really nothing in there that says he's definitely done.
No.
I mean, it could just be he was having a real sentimental moment. And again, I guess if it's all part of trying to get Shailene Woodley back, then
– maybe she doesn't want him to play like Giselle with Tom.
Like, maybe so. I don't know.
That could be. There's a lot of possibilities. But yeah, it's well,
you gonna be watching the McAfee show today?
I mean, probably not, but I'll monitor Twitter so people can tell me what he said, and they can give me clip the little, you know, like the 15 seconds out that I care about, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he will blather on and on about a lot of other stuff, but no thanks.
I'm sure he will. Well, it's gonna be funny when, like, he doesn't do anything today. Like, it's not. Like, the McAfee's big guest is, like, I don't know, Peyton Manning or somebody.
Brett Kern.
It's like, oh, yeah, Brett Kern on the show. I don't know. This is a big day for a lot of teams, though. Like, the Broncos, I'm sure, are waiting on bated breath to see what Aaron Rodgers' decision is. If you're the Colts, you're trying to get rid of Carson Wentz. Could Aaron Rodgers be an option for you? This is a big day. Like, this, to me, is the day. Like, if Rodgers makes his decision today, maybe that gets the ball rolling on all the other quarterback movement in the league.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, it's Rodgers. Well, it's Rodgers and Wentz, the two guys that we immediately started talking about in the far-fetched, how can the Titans replace Ryan Tannehill discussion. And it's, you know, same two guys for anybody else out there who's really looking for a QB. Although there are reports now that Carolina may be trying to get Mr. Cousins over there. Which I wouldn't really understand that move. They're not that good overall, you know? I know quarterback's been their biggest issue, but that's the thing. Everybody's gotta have a quarterback or change their quarterback. So I think you're right. If, you know, if Rodgers makes something absolutely clear today, then a lot of people can know where they stand. You know, the Colts, then there's you know, your wish list is, you just crossed off the biggest name.
Well, apparently, and this was reported over the weekend, teams have been calling the Packers about Rodgers, and they have not been willing to do anything yet. If his decision today is, I'm going to keep playing, but I think it's time for my time in Green Bay to be over with, what do those calls start to look like to Green Bay? Like, it becomes basically an arms race at that point to get Aaron Rodgers on your team.
Well, I'm trying to think, too, if there's a precedent for that. Is there a precedent for someone publicly coming out and saying, hey, I'm leaving this team? I mean, you know, Tom Brady,
so.
like Tom Brady, like, you kind of knew. I mean, I guess that's kind of like this, but not exactly, right? Like, if he goes on Pat McAfee today and says, sorry, Packer, because, like, I mean, everybody was ready to move on with the Patriots and Brady 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's almost like a recruits press conference, you know, with the hats. That's what he should do. He should put five hats out there.
One that's like a, you know, Just a beach hat of some kind, yeah. One of those bucket hats.
Exactly.
All righty. Retirement. Ready to go.
Gardening hat. Yeah.
Got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Says, Rodgers to Indy, Super Bowl. Let's go. Got a lot of Colts fans on the text line getting in here.
Trolling the Titans fans.
Well, I feel like, you know, if you're a Colts fan, your dreams could be crushed today. Or you could be really excited, one of the two.
Yeah, I feel like for the most part, people have moved on from Carson Wentz, even though he still, you know, could actually be the Colts quarterback next year.
Well, that's the thing. So let's say Rodgers either announces he's coming back to the Packers today or retires. There were reports over the weekend that Russell Wilson and his relationship with the Seahawks is in a really good spot. So my guess is he's probably not going anywhere. So all of a sudden, we've talked so much about moving on from Carson Wentz, and it's like, well, who's out there? Like, who are you moving on with? And if it's Jimmy G, which I think a lot of people have connected the dots to, great. If you're a Colts fan, how are you feeling about that? Going from Carson Wentz to Jimmy G? Like, I'm not feeling that great about that.
I'd probably feel a little bit better. A little bit. He's not quite the death pick thrower that Wentz is.
He's pretty close.
But he can do it too. We've as we've discussed with Jimmy G.
The thing that's crazy about Jimmy G is he will make just a rifle of a throw, and it's exactly where it needs to be. The ball placement couldn't be any better. And then all of a sudden you turn around and he'll overthrow a guy by 12 yards. Like, it's not even close, yeah, with some of the things. It's mind-boggling to me how that happens.
Well, look at the game here.
I know.
Early in that game, the Titans had zero answers for their offense. Then none. And then you get the Jackrabbit Jenkins pick in the end zone, and it's like from there, all of a sudden he was just all over the place. And pretty bad after that. He's pretty freaking excellent before that.
So what we're saying is tomorrow could be a challenging show for me, depending on what happens today. It might be the start of the Jordan Love era tomorrow. Do we think I'm ready for that?
No, you are not, Robbie.
I am not.
You've been building toward this. I think you're going to be fine.
Think so?
Yeah, you'll be all right. Who knows? Well, when Jordan Love could be, you know, I mean, sometimes some guys are gamers. You know, you do all the practice stuff you want, and then the lights come on, and boom, it just gamer.
Yeah, I've seen him when the lights come on. Looks great.
but think about that. Not as the starter, not as the full-time starter.
That's true. Think about what that Hall of Fame class could look like when Jordan Love's in there in 2041. Maybe Brady's back by then. Maybe that's the class will go.
Tua? Yeah, Brady will come back. And oh, man.
It'll be an interesting day today.
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. Going to be a pretty big letdown for people if Aaron Rodgers has nothing today. Like, if he's just not even on the show.
Or if he just goes on there and just blabs about nothing. Talks about, like, you know, like his the construction in Nashville and what he's doing with his den.
Well, hey, maybe Jared gets a shout out today. They've already talked about Jared once on the McAfee show. Maybe Rodgers talks about Jared today.
What did McAfee call him? Buddy, Jared.
Cuzzy
Stillman, yeah.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get into Derrick Henry. Could the Titans maybe change the way they use him as they move forward here? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.